Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to dive into, what is it? I can't remember what the name. Oh, disruption-project.org. That is the detailed plan or detailed type of information that the Soros-funded organizations here in America are helping prep. And as a matter of fact, they've been doing this for a long time, such as the Antifa handbook and so forth. And we've actually provided you that. I believe you can still get the Antifa handbook on Reclaiming the Republic website. This is very interesting. And after reading and providing you this information last week from the G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News, if you're not already signed up for the Need to Know News, you should, so that you don't have to wait to hear it from me, if you understand what I'm saying. But what I would say is we're going to dive into the topics and details that I think are pretty important, at least at the top level. And they actually point to other resources. And you'd just be amazed at how much money this Bolshevik Revolution is getting funded and how organized they are. When you look at how they are organizing the useful idiots in America, you should be very concerned. And I say this because when you look at how organized different factions, and I'll call them factions, on the conservative side, such as Oath Keepers, I mean, they're autonomous. The conservative side is not united. And this is one of the problems I point out all the time. I point this out to people I talk to this weekend. As I go and speak to organizations, I try to prove to people that the adage is resonating loud and clear. The adage being, or the old saying being, united we stand, divided we fall. And we are in the process of falling because we are not united. Being united does not include being united as Oath Keepers or as a myopic group. Conservatives across the board need to put aside their differences and begin uniting. The parties, those who want to preserve liberty, those who believe liberty is paramount, which I would think would be the Republican Party, the Constitution Party, and the Libertarian Party, they need to figure out how to unite and put America above the party, above the organization. This is why I have a problem with, and I'm not going to mention the old-time organization out there that has been around a long time, and their focus is not putting America first. Their focus is their self-relevance. And that I have a problem with. That's one of the reasons why, and I've told you this time and time again, we do not want to create an organization. I believe all of the organizations out there exist. That's why we're working with the NLA, We the People Foundation, Constitution Association, and many more. Even working with the Freedom Force, G. Edward Griffin. It's kind of limited at this point. I mean, G. Edward has offered and said, I'd love to have you come into the Red Pill University and start teaching and build your curriculum and everything else. Just a little busy. My priority is not necessarily sitting down and trying to create a curriculum that I might be able to sell. My priority is actually giving people the fundamental information. So obviously this show is a big part of my priority in giving you the marketing necessary so that you can take action or at least get motivated. When I say marketing, it's all of the things that are going on. This is why we're going to dive into this, what is it called again? Disruptionproject.org. That's why we're going to dive into this and some topics. I've actually gone there. I've extrapolated very specific content for you so that you can actually digest some of this because it's about marketing. when I prove to you that they are that organized, why aren't you? Have you had that meeting with your neighbors? Have you had a neighborhood meeting to discuss who's for protecting the property, who's for protecting life and, you know, our liberty, and who is actually on the side of surrendering our liberty, property, and so forth? You need to have those difficult conversations, because I want people to understand that if all of a sudden looters come in, then you just basically point them to the house that's okay with looters so that the looters can do their thing. Anyway, you are listening to the only show that provides the academic and evidence-based solutions of what we have to do. Republic Review is that solution. It is the catalyst that begins the cleanup, the correction. It's kind of like the beginning of the medical process of the healing of our constitutional republic. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And as you know, I've said this before, and I actually want to tell you that the memes that we've created are now available on the Take Action page on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. As a matter of fact, I had verified it, but everything seemed to have been transferred like always, and so it should be there. I'll confirm that after the break. But more importantly, we've updated all of the podcasts, so all of the shows are now up, except for today's. So hopefully you can go and download, and you can actually point people to some of these shows so that you can get them to go, oh, huh, this isn't like the typical conservative talking about we got to vote in, you know, this person or that person. We're only concerned really with the solution. And we want to give you the information and or I'll just say news and information to help motivate you to recognize how far we have gone. I'm telling you, they are very organized as far as the leadership and the organizers where the money is coming. And we're going to get into those details as soon as we get past these obligatories. And so one other thing I want to just quickly mention so that we can get into the content is we do appreciate your listening, but it is about getting this message out. Please continue to send out either emails, nudge your friends, tell them, send them the links to a particular show. Something that you go, wow, this is a pretty powerful show. We need to get this message out. I'm not saying that I'm the most articulate. I am not the most clean, you know, polished presenter, and or nor do I have, let's just say, the pithy little sound bites that some of these brilliant people can come up with. I really don't care about those types of things. I'm not here to entertain. We do not care about whether you're entertained. We want to make sure that you're informed accurately so you can make the best decisions and so you can recognize really what we're doing and why we're doing all of these things. And it all substantiates the fact that these are the solutions. This is why we actually go through the founding documents, and we believe that the founding documents are critical to clarifying and helping somebody truly understand what and how the Constitution was sold and defined. Anyway, let's get into this organized Bolshevik Revolution, or a part of the organizing this Bolshevik Revolution, the disruptionproject.org. So if you go there, you'll actually get this big, huge, you know, table of contents and all. Actually, you have to get into the handbook to get the table of contents. But if you go to disruptionproject.org, there are four topics that they want to lead you down. The first one, which is on the left-hand side, Disputed Election Mass Mobilization Guide. So you click on that, and that's the guide we're going to dive into. And this is the little caption they have. If the right is prepared to steal the election, then we must be prepared to disrupt the status quo and resist. This guide offers resources for organizing in your communities across the country. Now, just to be clear, what they're asserting here, if the right is prepared to steal the election, There is no evidence. As a matter of fact, I challenge anyone to come up and prove that the Republicans and the Republican Party has perfected little processes of how they can cheat in an election, how they can stuff ballot boxes. As a matter of fact, Project Veritas has actually proven time and time again that it is the Democratic Party that is the ones that are actually stealing the elections. And so, but they're convincing people and they're trying to get people to believe that the right is stealing the election. I will tell you, if Biden comes out as the counted victor, that means that the election has been stolen, because there is no way America is actually, that many people in America are buying into this dementia, old guy, leftist, racist, communist for a president. I think he's been exposed. I think that there's plenty of information out there that people should be very scared of anybody that thinks that Biden would be a good president in doing his job in faithfully executing the Constitution and constitutional laws. So the next caption, there's four captions on this page. Louisville Police Foundation map. The Louisville Metro Police Foundation has been silent as they watch police officers brutalize peaceful protesters. Are you kidding me? Peaceful protesters? They're still at that. They're still trying to sell that. Are you buying that? The fact of the matter is there is no legal grounds. There is no constitutional standing that you have a right to go out in the middle of the streets or out on the walkways. If you want to peaceably assemble, you go to the areas like parks or what have you, and you have your peaceable assembly. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so we're describing the four categories. They're kind of like, I don't want to say article lead-ins, but they're pointers for disruptionproject.org. And we're going through this because we want you to understand how much effort is going in to help the handout society, those who believe they're entitled. Most of the people that are involved in this, as you've probably seen, a lot of the people that are getting arrested in Portland and some of these other cities are teachers as well as, you know, people that don't have jobs. And so this is the handout society. Teachers just believe that they are, what's the better word for it? They believe they're entitled. As a matter of fact, if you understand Plato's Republic, you should read it, because in that society, they kind of lay down this responsibility teachers have in indoctrinating the society to accept their position that they are, you know, just a basic poor folk that is going to become dependent, or you have, you know, you've presented yourself with the capability of becoming a teacher or becoming an elite. And so they're the ones that kind of sort and prepare the children for their destinations. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being, you know, a dependent. Most of the people in society are dependent, and that's okay. You'll be dependent and we will take care of you. And they teach kids that it is okay. This is why now that these, as you've seen, and you've probably heard me or seen memes and heard about kids that are living in their parents' basement because they, you know, they've got themselves a master's degree in social services and just can't get a job because there's just not enough handouts yet. And so anyway, back to the four categories that are right there on the homepage for Disruption Project. We already covered the two. The first one being Disputed Election Mass Mobilization Guide, which is actually the guide we're going to get into. The one we went into just at the end was the Louisville Police Foundation map and how they're just basically labeled the Louisville Metro Police as, you know, a group that brutalizes peaceful protesters. We had a chuckle, went into break. So where are we now? We're in the affinities group. What are they and how do they work? An affinity group is a small group of people who come together to prepare for and take direct action. Affinity groups are organized in a non-hierarchical and autonomous way. Now, they're telling you that they're organized in a non-hierarchical, but I am telling you the person that usually is involved in leading these groups and paying people to kind of show up for protests and so forth are being funded via the pipeline that Soros and the global elites have created. There are no leaders, and everyone has an equal voice and responsibility. That's what they tell them. And that's why Lenin called them useful idiots. The fourth category is resources for resisting, get this, federal repression. And so what's federal repression? It's federal subjugation. Now, on this page, they actually have the audacity, well, to anybody that can, you know, have a, you know, cognitive moment and actually look at and understand federal subjugation, well, doesn't that have everything to do with, you know, becoming a subject to and or a dependent on the federal government? That is subjugation, where you are dependent on the federal government for your welfare, for your food stamps. You're dependent on the federal government to basically take care of all of your needs. And so we're supposed to be resisting the federal, you know, this subjugation. This is what they're calling it. And I guess the kids and the people that get involved in this are really that blind that they don't understand what this means. Oh, man, you're going to be answering to the man. Well, hey, did you get your welfare check yet? What about your unemployment? They don't get it. Anyway, the description for this is, since June of 2020, activists have been subjugated to an increasingly aggressive crackdown on protests by federal law enforcement. Apparently their job, this is their job, that they're supposed to be out protesting. Well, they do get paid, and that money's coming from somewhere, but it's autonomous and non-hierarchical. There's no leadership. Everybody has an equal voice, is what they said in this affinity group. Anyway, The federal response to the movement for Black Lives Matters has included federal criminal charges for activists, door knocks by federal law enforcement agencies, and increased use of federal troops to violently protest or violently police protests. I'm sorry, that just didn't make sense. And either way, it's a bunch of malarkey that they're actually putting out there, that any stupid kid, if they took a moment and used a little bit of critical thinking, they would understand that, if they're talking about federal subjugation and, you know, where do I get my money? Where am I getting my assistance? And what is it? Do I want free health care? Well, if that makes me dependent on the federal government, doesn't it? My welfare, my food stamps, all of these programs, doesn't that make me dependent, subjugated to the federal government? Since the federal government is funding it even down to the state level. Anyway, so what we're doing is we're now dove into the focusing on the disputed election mass mobilization guide. And we're going to go through this topic by topic. Again, disruption-project.org is where you'll find this information. I would recommend you go through it, and like we're going to go through just a few of the categories, I would recommend you go through it and send this out to everybody. As a matter of fact, anybody that you know that has adolescent adults in their home and they're basically, you know, taking care of their needs while these kids are working the system, getting some kind of welfare or something for themselves that the parents probably don't even know. Because if you remember that Project Veritas, when that couple went into Planned Parenthood and Planned Parenthood helped them figure out how to game the system in getting welfare, that's these kids are all helping each other help themselves to the welfare state, subjugating themselves to the government. That's okay, but this other government that's going to protect other people's property and corporations and lives, and, hey, where do they get off doing that stuff? Anyway, unfortunately, this is what it goes through. This is right underneath mass mobilization guide. Unfortunately, it is likely that some folks, and they actually use folks, not folk. What's the proper plural for people? Folk, right? Not folks. Anyway, folks may try to steal the election. I'm going to repeat this. Unfortunately, it is likely that some folks may try to steal the election, and we might need to engage in mass-scaled disruptive action. Here is the guide to how we might make that happen. Now, they're already putting it out there that somebody's going to steal the election, and I'm telling you, they're presenting this concept that if Trump wins, he's stolen it. I am telling you, there is zero evidence that the right, the law-abiding citizens of America, have any embedded processes or have anything, any evidence whatsoever that points to the fact that they are, you know, conducting voter fraud and election fraud. It has been the liberals and the progressives, actually the secular, godless communists in America, that are doing all of the cheating and stealing in elections. Anyway, throughout U.S. history, national politics has moved back and forth between conservative and liberal poles. Nixon, Reagan, and Bush followed the civil rights movement. Trump followed Obama. Conservative backlash follows liberal progress. Interesting. So they're basically referring to the Civil Rights Act, because that's what they're pointing to, that Nixon, Reagan, and Bush followed the Civil Rights Act. Well, hold on. The Civil Rights Act actually came from the party of Nixon, Bush, and Reagan. Doesn't make sense. And they don't mention Carter in here at all. Anyway, or Carter's failure. Trump followed Obama. So moving on, conservative backlash follows liberal progress, but neither poll has fully fulfilled the cries for justice amongst black, listen to this list, black, poor, indigenous, queer, trans, and marginalized peoples. And I find that really interesting that they basically said that they're that no poll has fulfilled the cries for justice amongst the black, the poor, indigenous, or sexually perverted. I didn't know that there was supposed to be justice for sexually perverted or any type of race. We have a legal system that we follow, and as far as I'm concerned, the legal system and our Constitution is really blind. Even though there were some concessions to protect state rights for slavery, which was a huge mistake. I've been on the record for this, and you need to read my article, The Unseen Teeth in the Constitution, that I actually go through all of that. I basically lay out these my acknowledgments that America did not create slavery, that, you know, slavery is, you know, an evil institution, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you read that, that's right up front in the preface. But we'll get back into this. I'm going to editorialize like I am, but I want you to hear some of these things that they're teaching these young adults and what they need to do. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so we're going through the disruptionproject.org. We're covering topics. And the topic we're covering is, what is the goal of this guide? I think it's important to understand what their goal is. So they've already tried to teach the kids anecdotal or incorrect version of history, of course. And then they go on and say this. This year, however, seems to be a flashpoint. We are at a moment in which many people have become so tired of the status quo that they have mobilized in the name of justice. From anti-black violence to pandemics, from environmental devastation to indigenous and queer trans erasure. Are you kidding me? How has there been an erasing of queer and trans? I mean, it seems like they've actually been getting away with changing our process of how we do birth control, or not birth control, but birth certificates and records. Are you kidding me? I mean, they've literally gotten almost everything. This is how intolerant they are. You got to give us more. You hate us. You got to give us more. Please give us more. Anyway, from the erasure of the perverted, we've seen people stand up against injustice that affects all of us. We want to lift up the reality that by working together, we can make change happen. See, and they don't understand what change that is. This is actually change to the globalist subjugation, becoming global citizens, and being subjugated in a form of government called communism. Moving on, we offer this guide as a resource to help with your efforts. This guide can be used beyond the election, offering resources from a broader movement mindset that are not just for this moment. This is the stuff I want to highlight, though. If the right, they're talking about the conservatives, is prepared to steal the election, then we must be prepared to disrupt the status quo and resist. This guide offers resources for organizing in your communities across the country. What they're doing is they're hedging their bets that they won't be able to steal the election. And they're basically, this is what the left does all the time. They're guilty of committing a crime, and then they blame you for committing that crime. This goes in the paradigm of usually criminals will come up and blame you for doing something that they believe that they would have done. Great case in point. A very close person to me was going through the estate with the loss of their mother, and her siblings, the first thing they said when they said, hey, we need to liquidate everything so that everything can be equally divided. And they blamed her of, you only care about the money. You don't care about the sentimental value, and you don't care about mom. And I mean, literally, that's how these people function. That's how they think. And I'm here to tell you that that's exactly what's going on when they come out and say, if the right is prepared to steal the election, because they know they're doing everything they can to steal the election. And if the right actually happens to win legitimately because they could steal enough votes or pump enough votes into the system, okay, then they have to be willing to disrupt the status quo. Moving on, it says, this guide offers resources for organizing in your communities across the country. It does not encourage or endorse bringing harm to any living thing. Got to add that little PETA note, right? Oh, we got to have that PETA note. Election day. So the topic now is on election. You really need to go read. I mean, this is like a 2.5-page table of contents, or no, 1.5-page. But there's a lot of crap there. Anyway, there is no redo of election day. So we must protect voters leading up to this day as well as on the day itself. There are at least three things to be aware and wary of on election day. First off, they want to point out this. Armed militias attempting to thwart voter fraud. Isn't voter fraud a bad thing? There is a legitimate concern that armed white supremacist militias might attempt to scare voters away under the guise of monitoring fraud. Now, I'm here to tell you that the only people that get scared away when they go to the voter booth, when they go to their precinct, is those people who should be or have already voted once or have already, because I remember in the 2000 election with Bush and Gore, there was an NPR interview. That's back in the days when I listened to NPR for classical, and they had, you know, All Things Considered and so forth. Not that I was a leftist, never was a leftist, but it used to drive me crazy that they would get away with this stuff. And the thing that really killed me was here was a guy on NPR that was bragging in the microphone that he had voted 9 times for Gore. 9 times. He was probably a student at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, Wisconsin, because that's where the interview was being taken. And there was all sorts of people out there bragging of how many times they voted. And I'm going, why is it that none of those people were identified and arrested because they actually admitted to committing a crime? Huh. But, you know, that's not voter fraud. That's, you know, that's passionate voting. It's just like, you're not an illegal alien, you're just an undocumented resident. Anyway, There is a legitimate concern that armed white supremacist militias might attempt to scare voters away under the guise of monitoring fraud. Later in this guide, you can find some tips on dealing with militias and white supremacists. Folks wearing in the front, folks working in the front line are organizing people to help do poll watching and on the ground de-escalation of people who might attempt to intimidate voters at the polls. Now, where were these folks when Obama was in and the voter intimidation was really evident? I mean, it was all over Fox News and conservative news web pages in Philadelphia how Black Panthers were not allowing people. If you were of any other color than black, you weren't allowed into the polls. Are you kidding? But give me an incident. Show me, and there may be, maybe in the Deep South where, you know, white voters are protecting the polls, but I've never seen it. I have seen these, you know, far wacko leftist communist people, such as these Black Panthers, that have actually used voter intimidation. I've not seen it, and I know historically it did exist. The Democrats were notorious in the South for using voter intimidation. They've always had code words, and they've always been out there doing their, you know, protecting us. If there's any connection to history in any child's mind, they would recognize that that all of this crap is just a bunch of lies. But there is no connection because all of those things have been obfuscated, they've been covered up, they have been relabeled as, oh no, we were the compassionate ones. Don't look up the truth, just take our word for it. Continuing on with Election Day, provisional ballots. A large number of people whose registration is in doubt may be forced to cast provisional ballots. If we hear about this early in the day, we might be able to organize actions against the Board of Elections to create some kind of hotline structure and communication with polls to ensure that votes are counted. Are you kidding me? What they want to do is they want to get in front of, because that's exactly what they want. They want people that are going to come in and overwhelm the polls to where, you know, they've got multiple people that are, you know, trying to vote again. And they're saying, hey, you know, we have a question because it looks like you've already voted or you're not registered in this precinct. We have no evidence of this. And what they will do is they will try to cook and, you know, basically burn down the line so that they can get the voting board or the election board out to actually get, you know, people out there to say, oh, we're going to count all of this. They want to intimidate to make sure every fraudulent vote is counted. Long lines and polls closing early. Because of the shortage of polling stations, it's possible that people will still be waiting in line as the polls close. History has shown that raising a ruckus keeps the polls open, and the law protects those who are in line and gives them the right to cast their ballot. Now, okay, so that still doesn't mean that those people that are going to have provisional or that have their questionable ballots, this is why they want to make sure every vote counts. I would point to the Washington State governor election in the early 2000s between, I believe it was Greg Waugh and Dino Rossi. Dino Rossi won the election. He's a Republican. They recounted the vote three times, and in each process, miraculously, they found ballots in the back of a car. They found boxes of ballots, you know, in, you know, a building. There three times they were able to find ballots, and three times they recounted, and as soon as they came up with a number that got Greg Waugh across the finish line, they shut down the audit. Instead of going and say, now we need to go and make sure every single one of these votes is valid, they were only counting. They did not audit the veracity of every vote. And I'm telling you, this is what has to happen. we really do need Trump to actually do a full audit to protect future elections. We need empirical data because, bottom line, until we do the audit, we'll never have the empirical data of how they are stealing these elections. And to the magnitude of the voter fraud that is being injected. We will be right back after these two promos. Please hang on. We'll be back into the disruptionproject.org.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so continuing on regarding quote-unquote election day out of disruptionproject.org. Count every vote. There are an infinite number of scenarios that can transpire between election day and when the election is finally over. Here are some general thoughts on what might happen. So the next topic is counting the votes. All the votes need to be counted. Many states have laws on the books that forbid votes to begin counted before November 3rd, before the election day. This means there will be a period of time after the election where there is no clear winner. We'll have, just like Washington State, we don't have a clear winner until the 29th. And I am here to tell you, or usually at the end of the month, when the Secretary of State finally, because in Washington State, they do all counting with mail-in ballots. Now, let me be clear. In the days where we had precincts and counted the ballots at the precinct level, because at a precinct, you basically with 1,000 or 1,500, something like that, total registered voters creates a precinct. And in precincts, the ballots are counted and are tabulated, and then those votes are actually sent up to the election board at the state, the Secretary of State, and or probably it goes up to the county first and then county to the state. The point is that that's when election days were actually completed. The shenanigans occur when all the ballots for a mail-in ballot goes to the county seat, and whoever controls the ballots, because at a precinct, you are guaranteed to have a Republican and a Democrat manage the ballot counting. Now, at the county level, you have a politician who has an affiliation. And 9 times out of 10, when you look at the auditor, because I believe that is who does the ballots in the state of Washington, we have, they call it a nonpartisan, but we absolutely have Democrats that are running most of the auditor's offices, even in red counties like Spokane. The auditor there is a flaming liberal. And so she's militant, and she will not allow anybody to question the process. You can observe, but that is it. And who manages the process? Well, she manages it, but who actually works as the ballot counting and so forth? These aren't people from the party, as it is done in a precinct, who, you know, knows the people. These people are government employees, typically from the DMV, that are working a little extra overtime, and they're getting paid. Now, in a precinct, and in the old day election, when you went to the precinct, all of that was volunteer work. And they sold this concept of mail-in ballots and mail-in voting because it was going to save us money. Oh, they had to go out and buy all these machines. And then they have to have people do the programming for creating algorithms in projecting the outcomes as well as the, you know, the votes and so forth. And when you have programs that are managing outcomes, I am telling you that nobody... There's no transparency to this stuff, my friends. You do not want mail-in ballot process. I think that it is so important to keep this process as clean and pure as possible and to keep bureaucrats away from the process. And that's why moving it back to precincts is paramount. Do not allow mail-in voting to be sold to you. Oh, it was so convenient. Get up off your butt, get out to a precinct and do your voting and protect your process. Because when they take over the process, it's done. Because when Washington State went to mail-in voting only, it went from a red state to a purple state to now a blue state. That is what has happened in every state that has introduced mail-in balloting for their election process. Colorado, New Jersey, and I forget the other state that first started this, the first four states that started this. This is where the test was done. Oh, but it's so good. It saves money. It does not save money. It does not save time. And it is steeped with all sorts of potential election fraud and voter fraud. And we've actually seen this play out, friends. Anyway, counting the votes. All votes need to be counted. See, this goes down to, we don't care if it's voter fraud, it needs to be counted. That's their paradigm. Many states have laws on the books that forbid votes to be counted before the election day. This means that there will be a period of time after the election where there's no clear winner. I know I've already read this, but I want to go on. We'll have until December 14th when the Electoral College meets to push for every vote to be counted. See, here's my real problem with this whole process, because when you actually have a president that is controlled by the party on the ballot and or a ticket that is controlled by the party, you've alleviated some of the complexities of committing voter fraud or election fraud. If you are actually putting, instead of having Trump and Joe or the big man or the boss, instead of having those names on the ballot, you would actually have to vote for the electors that would be running. That's per the constitutional process. We're supposed to be voting for the electors, not the popular vote. We've been doing this for so long, many people think, oh, well, that's how it is, right? The Constitution is very clear. We're supposed to be choosing our electors and our representatives. We are a Republican form of government. So when you go to the popularvote.org or whoever it is that's selling this crap, they're getting you to believe that we've been doing it for a long time. We've been violating the Constitution for well over a century and a half. And that's true. But it doesn't mean that it's right. To get back and to preserve our election process, folks, You need to start pounding the desk and start demanding your politicians and the public start understanding the advantages of voting for an elector. And as a matter of fact, we should stop voting as a popular vote for the governor. We should be using our electors to do our state executive as well. Because that way, it is a lot harder to steal. Because when they print the state ballot, 9 times out of 10, when they stuff ballots into a box, 9 times out of 10, most of those ballots, almost all of those ballots, only vote for key people, the key executives or so forth. They don't go down all the issues. Why is that? Well, if you've ever had to fill in a mail-in ballot, you got to fill in these dark circles so it can be read by the computer on all these different issues. For you to actually fill in a ballot, it's probably going to take you, especially for a general election for president, governor, and all of those things, all those tickets, it's going to take you about a half hour for each ballot. Well, that's not good enough if you've got to stuff a whole bunch of ballots into a box to sway the election in your favor. So you're only going to vote for the key ones. Well, we got to get our governor in. We got to get our president in. And maybe their representative. This is so important. Go back and look at the FEC data, the Federal Election Commission data on the 2012 election. Keep in mind, when you look at the to count the total votes for all the different presidential candidates, then count all the votes cast for the members of Congress in the House of Representatives, you will find that there is well over 5 million votes cast for president than there was for representative. Now, understanding that, okay, we have 5 million overvotes, I want you to also go and look and do the research on how many evangelicals refused to cast a vote for president because Romney was on the ticket and they were not going to vote for that Mormon and they were not going to vote in the presidential race. The numbers that you will probably see as the research and polls have done is somewhere between 11 million and 20 million evangelicals who refused to vote for Romney. Okay? Now, take that 12 million, let's just take the bottom number, 12, let's do 11. 11 million that didn't vote for president with 5 million overvotes. I'll bet you anything, the evangelicals actually filled out their entire ballot and they voted for, possibly, their representatives and so forth. So let's just say that that number for representatives is probably a really good, true number. Add 11 million to that, and you have now 16 million fraudulent votes for president. You doing the math with me? Does this start to make sense? This is how Obama was able to win the battleground states. They've been doing this for a long time, and they're very good at it. And they know that because they've convinced you in a democracy, oh, well, we got to count every vote. These provisional ballots, that sounds bad. That means somebody can't be counted. They basically get you to believe that there is no such thing as voter fraud and election fraud. But if the election doesn't go their way, then they will claim voter fraud and election fraud, but never once. Mark my words, never once will you ever hear a Democrat and a progressive communist activist demand a full audit of every vote. What they want is they just want all the ballots in and counted because they know they've basically stuffed the boxes with bad ballots for their cause. And that's how it works. Anyway, this is where they go on and say this. Oh, well, we're at an end. We're going to cover more of this because I believe this type of content will help you, and you need to get out there to disruptionproject.org and start sharing this with everybody you know. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.